And this is our number 10.
Time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Now, this would have been a good day to bring in the old blood pressure cuff. Oh, I wish I knew where we were at right now.
Looking at you?
This is crazy.
Just looking at you, yeah. I'm thinking 165 over 99.
At least that diastolic's under 100. That's all I care about.
It's getting to the danger zone.
But you know what? I settled down because I went home yesterday because I was pretty fired up for yesterday's show. Uh-huh. 118 over 78 when I got home. I calmed down like that.
You're lucky. You're very lucky. Although,
yes.
There's going to be more this afternoon, you know.
Yeah, what's going on this afternoon?
So at 2 o'clock, there's going to be a second opportunity for people to weigh in at City Council, so at City Hall. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be additional protests, possibly like the ones that happened last week outside Amazon.
Okay.
So some of the same people may be involved.
I saw the press release yesterday where Sawant says she wants to prosecute Amazon.
Mm.
That, yeah, she thinks that they are
criminally
responsible for something. I don't know what. But yeah, it's I've got some more sound bites. By the way, I want to give a big shout out to our friend Brandy Cruz in Q13 because she had Sawantian live this morning, and I was sitting watching the whole thing starting at about 8:30. And it's very rare to have we do it a lot on the radio, but to have live TV news locally in the morning, very rare. And it was very cool. It was a good coup.
She is a great reporter.
Yes, she is. And some of the things that Sawant said in that interview today were very revealing. For example, this is only the beginning. This is 75 million is just the start in her mind. She wants to get the tax in place and then she wants to double it. We're already spending 100 million a year in Seattle and King County. We've spent well over $1 billion in the last decade, and it's made not only no impact, but it has gotten much, much worse under their stewardship. And so that's where I cannot, and that, you know, I'm taking calls from our listeners, and I'm going to do it again at 1:30. I would love to have people who disagree with me, but we don't have any insane listeners on this show. Everyone is sane, and if you're sane, it's impossible to disagree with me on this issue. But beginning at 1:30 this afternoon, we'll open up the phone lines once again. But I wanted to go through our Hannah Scott also was down reporting.
And Mike Lewis is going to be out there. He's out there now, and there's just a kind of a lull in activity, but it's going to pick up again in about an hour.
Well, one of the people that Hannah talked to this morning is Ellen Taft, who is a self-described socialist. And she says that Sawant has gone too far.
It's not the Soviet Union. We cannot keep those people here. They will leave.
She's talking about the businesses, that Amazon will leave. These other businesses will leave.
You mean business here?
I love you. Well, see, the thing is, it's very unlikely Sawant is, unless she chooses a new district, she's not going to get reelected.
That's a socialist who is disavowing Sawant, which proves what I said earlier. Sawant's not a socialist. She is a communist. She has gone so far to the left in the political spectrum, and this is a woman who voted for Sawant.
I voted for Sawant initially. One phone call to her office convinced me that she and her aides did not believe in the rule of law or that she was representing her constituents. I don't believe she's accomplished anything. I think she's alienated all her constituents. I think she's used her office as a demagogue.
When you've lost the socialist community in Seattle, that's probably a sign that you've gone a little bit too far. And listening to the meeting this morning, not only the city council members, but their aides, they have no plan. They have no clue how they're going to spend this money. All they're going to do is get the money. But the question that must be asked is, how are we going to help people's lives? How are we going to take these poor, desperate drug addicts and allow them in this brief glimmer of time that we have on this planet to get some semblance of their life back?
And I think that's where there is the agreement from, I would say, you know, both parties or just all sides, is that there is no good plan.
Right.
There is no plan.
Well, but they,
so you're asking for more money, but there's no actual plan.
Well, first of all, I thought this was interesting, because this is everyone who's supporting this business tax says that it's an Amazon tax. But that was one of the things that Brandy asked Sawant. There are 500 businesses that will be impacted by this.
So I just want to be clear that when we say tax Amazon, we're talking about more than 500
companies. Well, I think we should also be clear. Yes, we're talking about 500 companies.
Can you name three of them? Can you name three other
Starbucks,
companies besides Amazon?
Macy's, and Nordstrom.
Okay, now that's very revealing, because have you been in a Macy's lately?
It's Deadsville.
You could fire a cannon in a Macy's
store.
They're
shutting down. At Northgate, they shut down at 8 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock because they have to...
Is that right? I didn't know
that. Yeah.
But this is a business that is teetering on the brink, and you load a tax on them, they're done.
But it's the Seattle Times interviewed the owner of, the head of Uwajimaya, which is a locally owned business, and they're saying that we would be affected too, and, the amount of money that we make is so little, you know, that a tax like this would, you know, essentially really hurt them.
Well, and
it's not an Amazon.
Right.
It's not just Amazon.
Another example. And it impacts everybody. It impacts the working poor. And I'll give you an example. How $15 an hour impacts the working poor. Have you been to Lake City lately?
Yes.
It's unbelievable, the plight of that neighborhood. It's, you know, you see people openly using heroin in Lake City. I've seen that several times.
There are lots of pot shops all along Lake City Way.
Yes. And there's a Fred Meyer right there on about, 125th and Lake City Way. And there's a deli. I kind of like the Fred Meyer deli. And often I would stop there on my way into work, and they have this little baguette with ham or turkey. It was $3.99. And by the way, in the little seating area next to the deli, it's people who quite clearly, many of them are homeless. And it's a wonderful store, and I'm not trying to disparage the store. But there are people who are sitting there at 10, 10:30 in the morning. Clearly, many of them are homeless. Many of them have other issues. There are a lot of elderly people who meet there. And I went in the other day. I hadn't gone there for a couple of years, or for a year or so. The $3.99 little baguette, it's $4.99 now.
Mm.
And that's because when you jack the minimum wage up to $15 an hour, you pass that on to your consumers. So all of these people who, maybe it's where the elderly go to just meet a buddy and hang out and have a cup of coffee and grab a sandwich, if that's what they've done, then it's hitting them for a buck a day or every day that they go there. The sandwiches that were $4.99 are now $5.99. Of course, these costs get passed on to the consumer, and it's the poor, the people who can least afford it, who are being impacted by all of this. And that's where I don't know, you know, because Sawant supposedly taught economics at a community college. But she doesn't seem to know anything about real-life economics. And all these costs get passed on to you and me and all of our listeners here.
You make great points. I do know, and I have heard from people who say, you know, yeah, the big businesses should pay more. But, you know, where does that money go What are we going to do with it? How is it going to actually help? And I'm trying to find the exact quote from Uwajimaya, but it's not that it's not that these businesses don't want to do something for the homeless. And in fact, more than 100 of them said, hey, why don't we, you know, take out the middleman?
Well, let me play for you another soundbite from Sawant on Q13 this morning, because a lot of these businesses, Dick's Drive-In, for example, they've said, we do a lot philanthropically. Why don't we donate to these organizations that help the poor, and let's take government out of it? Because government is, by its very nature, the most inefficient of enterprises. And so Brandy asked Sawant about that possibility, and this is very revealing as well.
Yeah. Would you be up for a compromise where you would let those businesses write off the tax so they can spend the money themselves and not have it wasted by city government?
Well, I do not think that is a compromise, and I don't agree that spending that using the revenues generated by taxing big business to build permanently affordable housing is a squandering.
How
the
much
money.
Of that $75 million will be caught up in city government and not actually spent on nails and boards and concrete?
Three quarters of the revenues we are fighting. I'm fighting, our movement is fighting, for at least three quarters of the revenue to be used directly for building new affordable housing, which means it will also, keep in mind, also create new construction jobs, and the remainder of it in order to expand the funds for homeless shelters. And
that's an absolute lie. There's no way three quarters is going to be spent on housing and the remainder, one quarter, will be spent on other services, because by their own admission, at least $5 million is going to go to administration. The latest plan revealed by the city council, they said at least $5 million will go to administrative costs, which means an extra 50 people who make $100,000 a year will be added to government. And the fact that these companies are saying, how about we give, because I don't know what you and Mark do, but Suzanne and I, when we give to charity, we are very diligent about what their expense ratio is. Mm-hmm. And we demand a less than 10% expense ratio for administration, and that 90 cents on the dollar goes to the cause that we are supporting.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things we do is we do direct labor. We actually go to the food bank and actually help them directly.
Wonderful. Government, and study after study has shown this, that generally any philanthropic type enterprise that government engages in, 75 cents on the dollar goes to administrative costs and bureaucracy. So there is absolutely no way that 100%, as she tried to say in that Q13 interview, and as I was watching that, and Brandy's a wonderful dogged reporter, but I was saying, gosh darn, I'd love to talk with Sawant, because if she tried pulling that, saying that 100% is going to go to the cause, that is a lie. She is just a flat-out liar, and they have no interest in helping people. They have interest in expanding government here.
Immediate needs of homeless people. But at the end of the day, the bulk of it has to be spent on creating affordable housing. And as I said, this won't be enough. We will also need rent control. But I do not agree with the businesses who say, just give us a tax write-off, we will do charity. Look, this problem is not going to be solved by charity, and I certainly do not stand with businesses who say philanthropy, but in the name of philanthropy, they're looking for a tax write-off.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that is just craziness, right?
So, well, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is, you know, the close to 600 businesses in Seattle that would be hit by this head tax. But what some of these smaller businesses are saying, like the Uwajimaya, saying that, hey, you know, we would have to think twice about bonuses or other employee perks that we give today, because with this tax, we'd be making less than a dime on every dollar that we sell.
Well, in any, grocery, what's their margin? About 3 cents on the dollar? I think grocery is about 3 cents. So Safeway and Albertsons, they're going to have to get out of the city, and you're going to have, and we've seen this in other major cities, where there are no supermarkets in the inner city because they simply cannot afford to operate there. I got to keep going with this. I want to talk about Paxson's no-hitter and some of the other fun stuff. But I want to take calls next half hour. Here is really the most important soundbite from the interview with Q13 today from Sawant. The $75 million is just the start, in her view. They want more than double that.
But let's be very clear. This is not about taking money, hard-earned money from working people. We're talking about taxing the biggest businesses, and we're talking about brick-and-mortar construction. We're talking about actual housing. There is nothing more real as a solution for an affordable housing crisis and a homelessness crisis as actual permanent housing.
Wrong. The most real solution is getting people off heroin. That is the most real. And if you put somebody in housing and you allow them to continue using heroin, you allow them to kill themselves in the taxpayer-funded housing, then it is still a life squandered.
Well, and I don't think it's a one or the other, because I think there is something to be said about if you have more affordable housing and if you are able to get them into housing. But it has to be, it's not one or the other.
It has to be in tandem.
Yes.
That you cannot give somebody a house and say, use heroin here, because that is still a life destroyed. But if you say, hey, we'll get you clean, and if you pledge to keep clean, and maybe we got to pee test them, you know, maybe we have to make sure they stay clean. But if you get yourself clean, we will give you all the treatment, we'll give you all of the services you need, and we'll provide you with a house, and then we'll get you job training. And, you know, I talk a lot about fair. I was just talking with the chair of the Fair Start auction this morning, because we're putting together what I think is going to be a really cool item for their auction coming up in October. But that's an organization that takes homeless people and it trains them how to work in restaurants so they can get their lives back. And that's what we have to embrace, not give us money and we'll let people use heroin in the house. But here's where she says this is only the start.
And in fact, if you and your viewers want an assurance, then fight with me to raise $150 million, not just $75 million. Because as a matter of fact, $75 million will not be enough.
Well, a billion isn't enough. $10 billion in the hands of Kashama Sawant wouldn't be enough. You give money to incompetent people, it's not, too much is never enough. So we've given over $1 billion to this over the last decade. We've spent more than any city in the United States. And now, bizarrely, she says, but just give us more. That's your fastest 15. Look, I know there's a lot of other news going on, but there's nothing more critical to the future of our entire region. I'm going to open up the phone calls for you. And I want to hear from you. If you disagree with me on this, I would love to hear from you. But if you agree, I want you to have a voice and a platform as well. So right after Ursula checks the news, we're going to check your phone calls and open up the show to you, your comments, because this is the future of our region. And I am not engaging in hyperbole here. I mean it quite literally. Is at stake. That's why we got to hear your voice. Open up the phones at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Your phone calls right after Ursula checks the news on the Dory Monson Show. The bumper, Sean. What do we got here?
We got some classic Nine Inch Nails, Head Like a Hole. I thought this would be appropriate for today's discussion.
Nice. Very nice. We don't spend a lot of afternoons just rolling through your phone calls, but today it seems not only the best way to run the show, but absolutely necessary, because your voice has to be heard. And we have a lot of listeners who don't live or work in Seattle, but you see the impact. Or maybe you like to just sit back and laugh at what a clown show Seattle has become. Or maybe you absolutely disagree with me on my perspective of this whole issue. Either way, regardless of your perspective, I want to open up the phones. So the rest of this hour, we're going to take your phone calls at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. 5476. Back to your calls we go. Ron is in Federal Way. Hey, Ron, you're on Cairo.
Hello, how you doing, Dory?
Fantastic.
Yep. I was able to watch that interview this morning with Shama, and one of the things that caught my attention was she mentioned one time about, or two times, about jobs for the unions. And I work in a non-union job in South Seattle, and I'm curious, is the unions involved with this head tax?
The unions are very, this is a real interesting dynamic, because one of the reasons she supported this is the unions are the main reason she got elected. And she stands up with the SEIU and with their president and screams about the evil rich, even though the president of SEIU makes $180,000 a year. But she thought she was doing their bidding here. But the reality is, since Amazon has said, look, we're going to put a hold on 8,000 jobs, we're going to put a hold on construction, the labor unions are the ones that shouted her down last week. And so she has even lost the labor. She's lost the socialist, and she's lost the labor unions. And that shows just how far she's gone out of control on this.
Mm-hmm.
But did that
answer my question? Thank you.
Absolutely, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Let's go. And gosh, if he's still listening, let me find. This was last Friday, and maybe people didn't hear this. It's among my favorite audio of 2018 so far. When Sawant tried to talk outside of Amazon.
Yeah, I really appreciate you all coming here for this important discussion.
Head tax! No head tax. No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
You know, it's cool. These hundreds of blue-collar, hard-working people shouting her down. They're wearing their neon vests. They're wearing their hard hats. But listen carefully, because I don't know how many there were, scores. I don't know if it was in the hundreds, shouting her down. But listen very carefully. You can hear the echo of no head tax reverberating off the walls of these downtown skyscrapers. I hadn't noticed that until just now. I didn't notice this last Friday when I was playing the audio. But listen carefully. Hear their echo off the downtown skyscraper walls.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
That's powerful. That is powerful. She's lost the unions, and she tried to, swing them back while she was talking.
To my brothers in the labor movement, as you know, I'm also a...
My brothers? How sexist can she get? She's lost the socialists. She's lost the labor unions. She's going to lose the feminists if she only calls out her brothers in the union.
To my brothers in the labor movement, as you know, I'm also a rank and file member of the labor movement.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
So, to answer my caller's question, are the unions with her? No, because she's going to strip away thousands of well-paying blue-collar union jobs, skilled tradespeople. She's going to cost them their jobs because she wants government control of lives. Let's go to Lee in Tukwila. Hey, Lee, you're on Cairo.
Well, good afternoon, Dory. How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
With your blood pressure?
I'm doing great, Lee.
I'm semi-retired. I was a home builder. I still keep active. I got an office in Burien. And I live in Tukwila,
mm-hmm.
So just close to Seattle, but not in Seattle.
Sure.
When Sawant was first elected, most of the people that didn't live in Seattle laughed and thought it was a joke. Unfortunately, it's not a joke anymore, because what's happening in Seattle is spilling over into the individual communities around Seattle.
Oh, and Burien being one of the most classic examples of that, where you've got people taking machetes to heroes who are trying to save a homeless person from being beaten, where two teenage girls were murdered a few weeks ago. Yes, Burien is an example of how Seattle's sickness infects the entire region.
You bet. And the main point is, from being in business since 1980 for myself, all of my adult life, basically, Swan is looking at this completely wrong. I mean, if you look at a business plan for anything to solve a problem, you need a business plan. She doesn't have a business plan. All she wants is more money so they can spend it.
Yes.
It's not the homeless situation as much as it is the drug situation itself. Because out of all the people that I have had contact with as far as being homeless people, most of them that I run into, yes, you have some people that are mentally incompetent that need some help. You have a lot of people that need help. But I'm going to say over half the ones I run into are just what I call renegade homeless people.
Absolutely.
They want the lifestyle of living out there.
Well, and I talked a few weeks ago about this, too, Lee, that we've got to get our language back, because to fold everybody who's homeless under that one word, it's not serving reality well. Because if it's a mom with two kids who is in an abusive domestic violence situation, and now she's out on the streets because she's trying to save her and her kid's life, you can't group her in with the heroin addict who refuses all treatment and all services, and to call both of them homeless when the reality of their life and the reason they're out on the streets is so vastly different. But that's Sawant's goal. She wants everyone to just be classified as homeless, because if you control language, you can control money. If you control money, then you control power. And that's what this is truly all about. Lee, thank you. Jerry is in Cedar Woolley. Hey, Jerry, you're on Kyra.
Hey, Dory. It's actually Terry, and I'm not going to ask you how you're doing.
Okay, Terry. Okay, thanks.
That's okay. Hey, I want to talk some basic economics with you. Now, granted, I didn't teach this in community college like Peyton Swan did.
Yes.
So basically what you're going to be doing is actually creating more homelessness. Let's take the drug addicts out of the picture for a couple minutes.
Sure.
So the biggest expense for an employer is labor. So now you're going to tack more expense onto that employer for his labor. And take the construction workers that have been put out because of the halt on the work down there.
Yes.
That's a drop in the bucket. Now you have an employer looking at this saying, okay, if I hire more people, it's going to cost me even more money. So the reason employers hire more people is to increase their profits. Increase the revenue coming into the business. If
right.
I'm not going to increase my revenue, I'm not going to hire more people.
Well, and let's also talk about the fact of taxation. In Seattle, they put in a soda tax with the stated goal of they want people to consume less soda. They have sin taxes on cigarettes and alcohol because they want people to smoke and drink less. You put in a labor tax, and the real world implication is companies are going to hire less. And that has been in Chicago when the head tax was 10% of what's being proposed here. Rahm Emanuel called it a job killer. In Seattle, where we had a labor tax that was about 5% of what is currently being proposed. And I think Nichols was mayor there. They took that out because it was a job killer. Yes, if you tax labor, you are providing an incentive for companies to employ less. That is basic economics. You get that, Terry. I get that, but the community college econ teacher, she has no clue about reality. Okay, quick timeout. Right back to your phone calls. Open up a line for you, 888-973 Cairo. More from you on the Dory Monson Show next. Insanity just continues as we progress through the afternoon. We've just gotten word that a socialist group called Working Washington, They are asking, this is just insane. They are asking Attorney General Bob Ferguson to charge Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos with a felony for saying that he's going to halt some construction projects if they go forward with the job tax. The job tax for drug addicts. Working Washington wants the AG to charge Amazon with a Class B felony for intimidating a public servant. Urso's going to have more on the news. I'll tell you more in the big lead at 2. It's just, it's unbelievable. Back to your phone calls. Ben is in Gig Harbor. Hey, Ben, you're in Cairo.
Hi, I am a student down in Florida, Dory, and I just got back from being down there for 6 months.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I didn't realize how bad it was up here until I went and lived in the South for a couple months. It is a completely different story down there.
Where in Florida were you?
I live in Tampa area, so kind of like, I would say more of a moderate area.
Yeah, okay, like over on the Gulf
super
Coast.
Redneck.
Yeah, because Miami, there's a lot of funky politics in Miami-Dade, the Gulf Coast is a little more, you know, realistic and conservative and retirees and all of that.
Yeah, I just didn't realize, like, I've lived here my whole life, and I hadn't moved. I'm younger, and I just didn't realize how bad it had gotten up here until I had moved somewhere else. And I just really appreciate what you talk about on the radio all the time, so thank you very much.
I really appreciate you saying that, Ben. Thank you very much. Let's go to Drew in Tacoma. Hey, Drew, you're on Cairo.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I have a theory that Shaman wants to do the head tax to get the population down in Seattle to drive down the cost of housing.
It may be even more evil than that. And I don't know if I have time, because you've inspired some thoughts that I had earlier today, this morning, when I was thinking through her motivation. So I'll give you my theory right after the top of the hour. But you believe that if she can force out business, that it would just drive down the cost of housing. That's your theory.
Detroit. Oh, yeah. It'd be nasty.
Yeah, I don't think she cares about the cost of housing. I don't think she cares about helping individuals who can't afford homes. But I'll give you my theory right after the news. But I'm glad you called, Drew. Real quick here, less than a minute, John in Ballard. Hey, John, you're on Cairo.
Hey there, thank you.
Yes.
I can go off on lots of tangents, but I know you're busy. I went to Shorecrest. I'm a Seattle native. I've owned a home in Ballard for 22 years. I'm blue-collar, food service, tourism industry. Two things that a lot of people aren't touching on. One of them is I love the renegade homeless thing. You go down by Fred Meyer on Leary, and that, believe me, those people want to party down there every night.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going anywhere. I am a father. I live in this town my whole life, over 55 years. And there's two things. Has anyone conducted a poll besides me of the numbers or influx of the droves, I'm going to use the word caravan, of
right,
people who are rolling into this city?
I got to jump in on that. I can't hear your second point. I'll address that after the news. But definitely we are attracting the drug addicts from around the nation. More after the news.